Back home in the Philippines, the first thing a person does when they stand up at the pulpit, if there's a microphone in it, they bash it and make sure that it's alive and awake. Wakes up people as well, so it was probably a good thing to do. But sometimes you get a little frustrated with it because you might have two or three people coming up to the microphone and everybody comes up and knocks it and then they blow into it to just to make sure that things are alive and well. I want to thank you for coming out tonight. I know it's a bit of a sacrifice. The Bills game wasn't over, and nobody's sure of the score. At least I presume nobody knows the final score. But we do thank you for coming, and thank you for the opportunity of sharing with you from the Word of God and sharing with you some of the work of the Lord in the Philippines. I'd like you to open your Bibles, please, with me to two portions. The first, in Matthew chapter 9, and we'll read from verse 35. Matthew 9, 35. And Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And seeing the multitude, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." Like for a moment to take time to consider the last verse that we read together, both the two last verses. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. When we first went to the Philippines, there were about 35 million Filipinos. According to the latest figures that I have seen, today there are 85 million. When I look at the number of workers on the field today, we're probably lower than we have ever been in the last 35 years or more. The harvest truly is plentiful. There are many cities, many towns, large towns in the Philippines that still have to hear the gospel. Many towns where there are no evangelical churches of any sort established. The Lord is challenging his disciples. He's laying out the facts that the harvest is plentiful. But it cannot all be reaped because there are not enough workers to go and do the job. Verse 38, therefore beseech. Therefore pray earnestly. Therefore, come to the Lord with your petition and don't let go until he answers. Beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. This is our prayer that the Lord will raise up new workers to come to join us in the Philippines. Last night we were at a missionary meeting. And we were challenged concerning the needs of the 1040 nations, the 1040 part of the world, 10 degrees above the equator to 40 degrees. And the number of mega cities. In the world there are about 400 mega cities. That's of a population of 1 million or more. 300 of those, 400, are found in this small band from Africa through Asia. The people groups have not heard the gospel. It's unbelievable in this modern day when technology and travel is so evident, so easy to come by, that millions of people have never heard the gospel. The challenge for us The Lord might not call us to go, but he challenged his disciples to pray, to beseech the Lord that he would send out workers and note it is into his harvest. What we propose in sharing with you tonight is not our own work. It's only a small part of what the Lord is doing in the Philippines, but it is the Lord's work. It is his harvest. And anything that has taken place as a result of our ministry is not because of who we are, but it is because the Lord has worked in hearts and lives. Beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. I did a quick count yesterday of the number of missionary families, including single missionary units, we perhaps could call them. And if my count is not wrong, there is only 13 serving the Lord in the Philippines today. And of those 13, four families are from Korea. We are not seeing many from the Western countries coming and joining in the work. A few years ago, we were perhaps double the number that we have today. And there are others who are planning to leave the field. We praise God that we have Filipino co-workers that work with us. They're fantastic evangelists. But we need people to come and teach the Word of God. John chapter 4. The context is that the Lord is talking to the woman of Samaria, how he had challenged her to come to him to drink. And the Lord revealing to her her need of a Savior. The story goes on that this woman, once she realized that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Promised One, she went home to her own people and declared to them that she had found the Messiah. Come, see a man who has told me all things. Is he not the Messiah? She had an experience, a conversion. And she went and told others, those that perhaps she was ashamed of facing. She was embarrassed to meet the people in the town. And yet she went and told them all that she had met the Messiah. And the disciples come along. And they criticize this woman for talking to the Lord. And the Lord talking to her. And in verse 35, well, let's read from verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." This is the plan of the Lord in his own life. To do the will of him who sent me. To do the will of the Father. And not only to do it, but to accomplish his work. And you and I, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, should have no other motivation in our life other than to serve him. To do the will of the Father and to accomplish the work that he has given to us. The work that he has given to you might be different to what he has given to me. It's quite possible. But the Lord has a plan, a will for each and every life. And he wants us to do what he has requested of us. He wants us to accomplish the task that was set before him, before us. Then he goes on and he challenges the disciples and he says to them, "Do not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. There's an urgency in the task that the Lord has given to us. The challenge is not to put it off. It's so easy for us to have excuses why we do not do the will of our Heavenly Father. And the Lord challenged his disciples and said, don't wait for 4 months until harvest time. There's work to be done now. And I want you to be involved. I want you to get going and carry out the task that I have given to you. The Lord said to his disciples, you shall be my disciples, that they are to go into all the world to preach and to teach and to baptize, making disciples of those that have been called from sin and darkness. This responsibility, I believe, is the responsibility of each and every believer. Each one of us has our own mission field or harvest field. One of the joys of coming home at this time of the year is to see some of the fields that are ready for harvest. And as we've traveled around, we've seen the evidence of God's blessing in the harvest fields. And yet when we look around and we see those who are heading to a lost eternity, there seems to be very few who are involved in the task of bringing those people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who would have thought just a few weeks ago that many people would have died because of a hurricane down south? Who would have thought that 38,000 people would have died in a split second because of an earthquake in Pakistan? Who would have thought that the 130 plus thousand who died in the tsunami would have been here one moment and the next moment taken from this world? No more chance. No more opportunities to hear the gospel. Now, today is the day of salvation. And we're challenged to go into all the world. Your world, my world. We work together. Some sowing, some reaping. God giving the result, the harvest. But working together, we can change the world. When I think of the disciples of the Lord, 12 men, one did absolutely nothing that was of value. So we're down to 11 men. And they went out and they changed the world. We're much more. Our number is greater here than what the Lord had before. So we can do much more for the Lord. As we look and see the needs of the world in which we live today. Millions of people coming into the world. We've been there in the Philippines 35 years, over 1 million added to the number every year. That's only in one country. How about going to India? Soon to become the most populous country in the world. Go to China and the vast needs of that great country. And we don't forget Indonesia with its millions, with Japan and its millions. And then you look at some of the other countries that are in this region, which is called the 1040 region. See the tremendous needs in these lands where the Muslims are very strong, where they're growing very rapidly. When we first went to the Philippines, we never saw any Muslims in our area. They were all in the south. Somewhere between 5 and 10% of the population in the Philippines is Muslim. But today you'll find them throughout the whole country. We're a so-called Christian country, a Catholic country. 80 to 85% claim to be Christian. And yet the Muslims are moving into areas where 10 years ago there were no Muslims. But they're all people, whether they're Catholic or Muslim, communist or whatever, they all need to hear the gospel. And how will they hear if nobody is gone, nobody is willing to go? It's your responsibility and mine to take this good news that we have to the world. May God help us. May He encourage us. May we act while there is yet time to take this good news to the world in which we live. It's your responsibility and mine. We have to act together, and the Lord will bless. Tonight I would like to share with you a little of the work that we are involved in. Actually, I have here a list of prayer needs for the Philippines. We had hoped to give every family a copy, but unfortunately the copying machine doesn't work. So we cannot do that, but if you're interested, perhaps I can share this with you later on. What I'd like to do is use the video projector, and hopefully we can make this work. I'm not an expert at this, and when it comes to IT things, there's generally the opportunity for everything to go wrong. Last night at a missions meeting that we had in Erie, we had about a 10-minute blackout when things were not working so well. I thank my assistant here for coming and helping and setting this up. I'm not sure that you can read or see this map very clearly, but this is a map of the Philippines. There are about 7,000 islands in the country. There are assemblies on about 8 of these islands. Fortunately, over only 700 are inhabited, but we've still got a long way to go. We're in South Asia, just down here, south of Taiwan. Okay. The land area is about 115,000 square miles. The three main island groups, there is the island of Luzon, which is this main island here, the big island, where Manila is located. In the center here, we have the Visayas, and down south, we have Mindanao. This is the estimated population. Even I was wrong earlier. Manila City is the capital of the country. Actually, Manila is a mega city. There are about 13 major cities involved, all gathered together, and somewhere between 10 and 12 million people live in this city. Generally speaking, the Philippines is a farming community, at least when we first arrived in the Philippines, but many people now are moving from the farms and moving into the cities, and the population of Manila is just growing rapidly, and some of the other major cities, and the people in the farming communities, which would be still perhaps the majority of Filipinos, are finding life very difficult. The farmers, fishermen here. Okay, this is, in the Philippines, there are about 160 to 170 assemblies. These are the assemblies that we are working with. The Cainta Assembly is our mother church in the Philippines, and the rest that you will see here are either daughter churches or granddaughter churches. Hillcrest is a result of one of the elders from the Cainta Assembly moving, having a desire to reach out in his own community, and we have started a new assembly there. Rosario, this is our second assembly that we started working with, and they have started a new outreach in a place, in the town in which we live, a place called Bato-Bato. Angono Bible Chapel, this is an assembly that has been going for some time, but has suffered a number of setbacks. One of our major problems is leadership failure, and at present we're starting off and retraining new leaders for the assembly. And then the Malabon Assembly, again we have leadership problems here. We did have two elders, and one immigrated to Australia and the other left because he had his feelings hurt, and consequently we have left with very little leadership in the assembly in Malabon. But they do have an outreach in a place called Gen T. De Leon. This is the name of a person, General T. De Leon. They take the names of people and make these into towns and areas. And they have an outreach there from Malabon. And it's good to see that the outreach actually is doing better than the mother assembly. This is our chapel in Cainta. We just recently put a second floor on it because we have a number of ministries going here. The biggest ministry that we have is a preschool program, and we have 175 kids. This is some of the members from the assembly in Cainta. This was for a special occasion just before we left. The other assembly that we are working with, and we've had to spend more time with this assembly, this is the Angono Chapel. We have a nice building, but unfortunately we have leadership problems here. This is some of the Christians here. This was a farewell to a family who was actually, if we could call them this, the leading family in the assembly, the most active in outreach and in ministry, and they immigrated to Canada. Another member has just recently immigrated to the States. Consequently, we are again back to square one with very little leadership in the assembly. But we have some exciting things happen there, and this was a baptism. A few months back now, when 12 were baptized. This is the Malabon Chapel. You will see up here that we haven't quite finished the building. We actually have plans to put a third floor on here. Right now the assembly is meeting on the second floor with the auditorium and classrooms down below. One of the new chapels that we're in the process of building is at Hillcrest. This is just a few kilometers or a few miles from our home. And we just started building here a couple of months ago. I'd love to have time to tell you the story how the Lord provided this piece of land. It was a miracle, really, and we have a very large piece of land compared to the other assemblies in the Philippines. And we eventually hope to put a school here, a two-story building, and we'll have a complete elementary school there in the near future. The last Sunday of August was when we had our first meeting. In our chapel, you'll notice that there's only the one wall there, no walls, no floor, and a concrete slab here. There are about 50 people meeting in this small fellowship, and we hope to extend this. Actually, work has started. This was the Sunday morning service there. Over here, you can see the steel for the pillars. We're working on this bay here right now, and that will increase our area by about a third. The Rosario Assembly, which has very good leadership, has started a new outreach in a place called Bato-Bato. And our outreach meets in a textile factory. This man here is the owner of the factory. He and his wife, which you cannot see there, have this real sweatshop. If you go in there, you know what I mean. Back over here, which you cannot see, but there's piles of material. There's some back here. So when we go in there, it's very, very crowded. Downstairs, they have probably 30 sewing machines. But upstairs, we come together for Bible study. This is Thursday night Bible study. And we'll have 25 to 30 people there for that. The work is growing. Unfortunately, we don't have too many showing up on Sunday. We don't actually go there on Sundays, but the work continues on with some of the workers from the Rosario Assembly. As far as literature goes, we are involved with two different ministries, Bible School of the Air, which is the Emmaus work in the Philippines. Right now we are enrolling between 2,000 and 3,000 new students every month. We have a fantastic staff. Rose Brooks is actually the Philippine director, and she is running the office in our absence. She does a great job there, and we praise God for Rose. Pray that the Lord will continue to give her good health and strength. I've recently been appointed as a regional coordinator for the Emmaus ministry, and this will entail working with seven other countries in East Asia, from Korea across to Cambodia. So we'd ask you to pray for this ministry. We are in the process of reviving the Emmaus work with the Emmaus Bible School of the Air. We also not only have the correspondence lessons, but we also have radio programs, which are both done by Filipinos in English and a Tagalog program. And we are receiving for each half-hour program between 30, 40, sometimes 50, 60, up to 70 responses via text message after the airing of the program. So pray for this ministry. Pray for our co-workers, especially those involved in the radio side of the ministry. Then we're also involved with Radio Bible Class. I am the Philippine director, and we print all of our materials in the Philippines. We have annual editions, which they're starting to do a little bit here in the States. But we are printing over 500,000 copies just for the Philippines alone. And this is done in country. We prepare the Tagalog course, which is the main one, other than English. When we do English, printing English, we print about 300,000 copies, and then 100,000 for Tagalog and Cebuano, less than 20,000. More people originally spoke Cebuano, which is in the center of the Philippines, but because of the push by the Philippine government to make Tagalog a national language, now called Filipino, Cebuano is dropping off. Not too many people read to Cebuano. And then English is the business side of language, the commercial language of the Philippines, and most people like to read that. In our office, we have a staff of 12, and they are all paid employees. Eight of them belong to the Radio Bible Class ministry, and four for Bible School of the Air. We're actually meeting in Dad Brooks's old apartment. This was their bedroom back here, and up the front here was Dad Brooks' office many years ago. In fact, when we first got married, that was our bedroom and our office here. So things have changed over the years. Pray for our staff. They're doing a good job. We thank the Lord for them. We just heard that this young lady here has, in the family way, and one of our other staff has just had a baby. So this affects their work to some degree. This is the staff with Rose over here. Unfortunately, you can't see her very well, but she's there, and the rest that work in our office. This is Dad Brooks and Len Brooks's home. Len Brooks had the upstairs part of the house, and Dad Brooks had downstairs, and the Bible School of the Air office was over in this area. Now we've taken over the whole ground floor, and we use that as office space. We use the car sheds over here, the garages over here for storage. Eventually, we will have to pull this building down. We're in the process of trying to get title to a piece of property right beside here, actually the property that belonged to Ken Brooks. We're trying to transfer this over, and once we've got the title transferred, then we will build a new three-story building there. We're also involved in Emmaus Bible School. This is our regular course. This is a three-year course, a short-term course of 2 months every year. We teach six subjects per class, alternating the second and third year studies. We also have a one-week special studies group, and this is for those who cannot come for the longer term. We offer four subjects, and occasionally we will add another group, another set of classes, which we would call advanced studies. Most of our full-time workers in the Philippines have gone through this course. Others are now teaching, and it's encouraging for us to see that those who were our students in days gone by are now actually teaching in Bible school. Our Bible school is located at the Emmaus Bible Camp, which is about 35 miles north of Manila. The main ministry here that we are involved in, or that I am involved in, is Christian Training Camp. We have a four-year curriculum of intense Bible training for 2 weeks. This is mostly for Sunday school teachers, future leaders in the assemblies, between 130 and 150. Actually, we've had up to 202 students attend in 1 year. And these are the people that go back and hopefully are better trained and better equipped to serve the Lord in their own assemblies. We have 20 to 22 teachers. Half of these teachers are actually in training, and they assist the main teacher of the subject that is being taught at that particular time, and they have opportunity to train and to teach others as well. In addition to the Christian training camp, we have a family camp, children's camp, and two youth camps at the camp. This is generally through April and May, and plans already underway for the new year. So some of the students, some of the campers for our youth camp. Our Christian training camp is not like a camp here. It's intense Bible study and training. They have six classes that they attend to every day. They have 2 hours of supervised study, and then they have another hour of programming in the evening. This is the group of young people. This was our first year students last year. What a challenge. What a possibility, potential here, as these young people go back to their own assemblies and become involved in teaching in Sunday school and young people's. Sometimes we have some who come to Christian training camp who are not yet saved. It shouldn't happen, but it does. And we have seen the Lord work in some of their lives, and they've come to know the Lord also. Two of the assemblies that we are working with have preschools, the Cainta Assembly and the Rosario Assembly. Both have a preschool ministry. Today, this is perhaps our most effective outreach into the community. We have a total of about 275 students in the two schools, 8 teachers. Our teachers look at this as a ministry, and we, the leaders in the assemblies, also look at it this way, that we want to reach out into the community. And we can have a special event for our young people, for our students, either recognition or United Nations Day or whatever it might be. About 5 times a year we will have our chapel full to overflowing with people from the community. And as they come to see their kids perform and be recognized, it's an opportunity for us to present the gospel to them. Not only do they come to do this, but our teachers go out and visit all of the families. They go with a full-time worker or an elder. And the purpose of this is to make contact with the families and to offer them home Bible studies. And although we're not seeing a great number come to the Lord, we are seeing the ones and twos that come into fellowship as a result of this ministry. This is the Kayenta Chapel. Earlier this year, almost completed the second floor. We still got to finish it off. But we have divided the groundstairs floor into three classrooms, and we have plenty of kids meeting there, and we have a problem here. Okay. Can somebody hit the right button? Thank you. You have to be a magician to work computers these days. This is inside one of our classrooms. We have no more than 25 students in our classrooms, which is great compared to some of the public schools. I was talking to the regional director for private schools not so long ago, and she was telling me that in one school, public school, in our area, they had over 100 children per classroom. This is the only space that we have outside the chapel or their classrooms. This is where they do their PE. You'll note that they have to have a special uniform for PE. I'm not sure why, but that's the way things are done in the Philippines. Just over this fence line that you can see behind the bike, there's an empty lot. And we've been praying about this. It is the only empty piece of land in our community. We're asking the Lord to guide us as to whether we should purchase this piece of property. Of course, He'll have to make the provision for that. But we would like to be able to purchase this and to build a 3- or 4-story building where we will have a complete elementary school. We'd ask you to pray that the Lord would give us direction as we look into this. It's just unbelievable that the only piece of land that is not built on in our area is right next door to the chapel. And to us, this is a sign that perhaps the Lord would have us try and make some progress in purchasing that piece of land and building a school there. Faith Academy is a school for missionary children. Ruth originally went out to teach at Faith Academy. And after a while, I came along, and you know the story, boy meets girl. Boy falls in love, girl falls in love, and we eventually got married not too long after that. And Ruth actually taught for 3 years, or three and a little bit, and then we moved from Manila up north. But Ruth has not lost her interest in Faith Academy. She's serving as a member of the Board of Trustees. There are two locations. We have the main campus, which is just a few miles from our home in the town of Kayenta, just outside of Metro Manila, and one in Davao. Davao is where Steve and Dottie St. Clair have been serving, and it's a smaller school. It's only up to grade 8. After that, the students would either transfer to Manila or go to another school in the area. The challenge today is that it is a multi-nation school, truly international. The second largest group after the Americans are the Koreans. And I'm not sure of the percentage. My wife can help me out. What's the percentage of Korean students? About 17%. On the board, it has 4 from assemblies. Unfortunately, this is changing. We will be down to even fewer. Over the years, the assemblies have been very much involved in the administration and in the school board of trustees, and also in providing staff, but this is changing at this time. This is an aerial view of the campus. Down the bottom here, this is all students. We love Faith Academy, or Faith something. We love Faith, okay. The school is in the process of building program over the back here, new classrooms, which are science rooms, and there are some fine arts area in this area, music rooms and so on. It is planned to put a build an auditorium in this area, which will eventually, if all goes according to plan, seat about 1,000 people. With 620 students and community activities, it is something that is really needed by the school, and they are looking to the Lord to provide for that. Students are missionaries. Sometimes we forget to pray for them. At a school like Faith Academy, we have many of the same problems that schools face in this land, perhaps not to the same degree, but there are many here who, or some here, that do not know Christ as Savior. And the problems that go with that come to the school. And we'd ask you to pray for these students, that they would grow up with a desire to serve the Lord also, just as their parents have done in years gone by and have been called to serve the Lord. This is some of the new classrooms, and this will be in this area out here will be where the auditorium will be built. About one third of the students at Faith are boarding students, perhaps not quite so many now, because many of the missionaries are moving in to Manila. Those that were serving in Indonesia and some of the other countries have had to leave those countries. And there's not quite so many students boarding, but this is one of the boarding homes at Faith. There are actually three on the property and another two outside. Okay, thank you. We did it in time. We can turn that off, thanks. Can we have the lights, please? Well, I've just about run out of gasoline. I've been speaking for so long. I'd like to give you a chance to ask any questions that perhaps you might have concerning the work in the Philippines. Faith Academy is primarily an English-speaking school, but they do have some teachers that teach English as a second language, principally for the Korean students. But the students have to pass a proficiency exam to get into Faith Academy. We had one family, a Korean family, that was out there working with us. Their children could not get into Faith Academy because their English was not good enough. And they moved south to the center of the Philippines, the Visayas area, to Cebu City. And they went to an international school there. And it's kind of neat to see the way the Lord works. They couldn't get into Faith Academy, so they couldn't stay in our area. They went south. And today they have started two assemblies in that area. And they're starting a new outreach in two other areas as well. So it's exciting to see how the Lord just overrules. The Visayas, or the center part of the Philippines, is an area that has been neglected by the assemblies. We have assemblies on the North Island, on the island of Luzon, and on the south, and in particular in the southern part of Mindanao, but very little in between. So the Korean brethren have actually claimed the Visayas area, the central part of the Philippines, as their mission field. And they're working together with us. I go down there. In fact, I just came back from visiting some of the believers down there. And we're working together to reach this very strategic part of the Philippines, the center part. Any other questions? No, Rose is back. Rose has told us that she's made her last trip home. She will probably not return to the States. She's planning to give her life to the Lord in the Philippines. Travel for her is quite difficult at this time, and she has decided. Whether this happens or not, I can't say for sure, but at least that's her desire, not to come back to the States, that she will give her life there in the Philippines. finish out her days. We thank the Lord for Rose. My wife has this, something she'd... about a week after we got back to the States, we had a phone call. And actually, we didn't answer the phone, and the message was left on the answering machine. And the message was something to this effect. We're okay now, we survived the fire. That was it. So, as soon as I heard this, I called Rose to find out what was going on. And the home, actually two houses right behind our property, right on the boundary line, were burnt. One completely to the ground, the other one severely damaged. This was great concern for us because the homes on our property and the buildings there, some of them are pre-war. They're very dry, and a spark with the dry buildings and the tons and tons of paper that we have there could have lost everything. All the computers in the office were virtually ripped out, put in our car, which was left at the office there, and taken out of the compound. On either side of our office buildings, there are two gas stations. They closed down immediately. The staff from our office, once they got the computers out and the vehicles out, then they stood in the middle of the road and directed the fire department in to our property. We had four trucks in there and one outside from us. The good news is we hardly lost anything. Some of our books were damaged with water, but the Lord provided, and our property was saved from something that could have been a very drastic situation, because right now, in our storerooms,